open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to
this. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there! Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, off and running on Cleveland Browns Daily. The draft is finally in the rearview mirror. And Matt, we can welcome. We need to say hello there to 14 new members of the Cleveland Browns. You and I doing a lot of talking on the radio, on TV this past week, getting everybody, keeping them up to speed on the Browns draft. But it is here now. 14 new players coming to the Browns. They attack the receiver position aggressively. Four wide receivers, three pass rushers. Hugh Jackson gets his quarterback and Cody Kessler. All in all, just a lot of players added to this team, and that's what this team needed. More players. Everybody wants to talk about assets and draft capital and yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, it's all about the players. The Browns adding 14 of them, 15 of course, with the trade, bringing Jamar Taylor, this former second-round cornerback out of Boise State from the Miami Dolphins to the Browns in that trade in the seventh round. As you've had time to sit with it, settle with it, what do you think about what the Browns were able to do?
I'm excited, and I think that for those who aren't very familiar with some of the players we may have drafted, your homework is to dive in and understand who your new Cleveland Browns are. Because you're not going to get an opportunity to truly see who they are or what they do until training camp. And I believe that as you dive in and do your homework as a Browns fan, instead of being a surface level, because I've never heard of him kind of Browns fan, it will allow you to understand why we did what we did. And as you talked about Saturday talking about Friday and Thursday, and then Sunday, yesterday doing the Dog Pound Report talking about the first through fourth round, that there's a few things that pop out to me, and I've said it time and time again. I said it on television. These are explosive because of the Spark score, which you can go in more detail about. They're very productive. A lot of award winners, stat-filling type of players, both offensively and defensively. And I think to a certain extent, and we can even start at the top with Corey Coleman, our number one draft pick, is they're still kind of raw.
Yep.
And what does that mean to me? That means that Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Paul D. Podesta, Hugh Jackson understood where this organization sat. And know that we have, while we sit in the bottom, these are our building blocks. And they're putting faith in Onis the same way that Hugh Jackson is owning the Kessler pick. I think they're all latching their name to this class of,
sure,
you know, of no names per se. To the common, you know, the common college football fan or the common professional football fan, that these guys will be household names in a matter of a year or two in a Browns uniform under the tutelage of Hugh Jackson and this coaching staff, and I like that.
I like it too, and I like that they addressed the positions that they really need. I mean, I know we're going to ask you guys to give us a grade today, but overall, you can't really do that. And by the time that those grades really would matter, you'll see it, you know, all straight out there in front of you. But what I can tell you is, one of the things that they did was address the biggest needs on this team and got their guys and their system and executed their plan. They brought 14 players in to the Cleveland Browns this year and, by the way, have another first and 2 seconds still to come just from their work in this draft. So that certainly is an exciting thing. And the sense that I've gotten, at least from talking to a lot of people, is, man, these guys have a plan. They did it. I'm excited about Hugh Jackson. I'm excited about what Sashi did. And for those of you who are wondering, you want deeper dives on these players, you know, we'll give you some of the background on these guys as we talk about them today. But Andrew Berry, the Browns Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, is going to join us today here live on the show, live in studio. First time He is going to be on CBD. Andrew Berry will be with us, which I'm very excited to talk to him about because he's really going to be able to tell us about these players. That's at 2 o'clock. Jim Donovan is at 2:30, and it's Reaction Monday. So give us one word to describe how you feel about this class. Give us a grade. Tell me who you're the most excited to see out there when they come to work next Friday and finally get on the field. A lot of stuff going on with this Browns team. And Gibbs, you're always, you know, we always love to get your opinion here. So where are you after the draft, seeing it play out? How do you feel about what the Browns did?
I like some of the picks. Some of the picks, I got to see if it plays out. But
got to see it. Jason Gibbs, the show me state.
I think that, you know, first and foremost, they addressed two of the three biggest needs on this football team. They needed a pass rusher, got a few of them. They needed wide receiver help. They needed offensive playmakers. They got them. The quarterback, I was impressed with Cody at the podium on Saturday. He's definitely not the tallest quarterback out there. But as I said to someone, he is well built. Like he's almost like a tree trunk from like the shoulders to the waist. He is a much bigger guy in that sense than he is in the height sense. I thought it was a good draft. They made the most of their picks. I like Jordan Payton.
Yep.
I thought he was a good pick. I like the two offensive linemen we took.
Yep.
I love Schobert, the linebacker out of Wisconsin. He might be one of the three or four best picks that we made this year.
Really?
Yeah. I love Schobert. I've done a little bit of work and talked to some people up in Wisconsin that covered him for our sister station, and they rave about him. They think he is, he's the real deal. So, some really good feedback on him. Scooby Wright, if there's a seventh round pick that you're going to pull for,
man, oh yeah,
I don't know how you don't pull for this guy. If you haven't seen his social media exploits, you gotta go online and check it out. I thought there were a couple reaches. I thought they took a couple guys earlier than they could have gone.
But you know what? And I don't do that
with 14 picks.
I don't disagree with it. And I was going to make the point: A, you have 14 picks, and B, you want to get your guys. And so I think that's what they liked about it is that when they decided, and Cody Kessler is clearly their guy. That's who they wanted after Jared Goff was off the board. That I don't mind the fact that they went out there and were aggressive in securing him. Could you have gotten Cody Kessler later? Probably. But if Cody Kessler pans out, does it matter that he was a third-round pick versus a fourth-round pick?
Nope.
Not one bit. And you know, one of the things, and we'll get into him later, is I've done kind of my research and spent some time yesterday watching some of his games and seeing the way he plays. What I think is going to draw them to him is his accuracy. I know that he had the highest accuracy rate of any quarterback under 20 yards, third best in all of college football last year at 78%. He was also third best in college football in terms of accuracy rate under pressure. And I think those are the kind of things that Hugh Jackson is looking for out of his quarterbacks. And in many ways, what I saw from him, not a perfect prospect by any means, otherwise he's not going where he went. But what I did see from him is a guy who's tough, who dealt with a lot of adversity, who is accurate with the football, can take hits, and a guy that, you know, the Browns feel they can mold and do what I would call a poor man's Andy Dalton. I like him better as a prospect than A.J. McCarron. And A.J. McCarron, early in his career, they were able to get pretty good things out of them, Hugh Jackson there. And I think his arm is better than A.J. McCarron's, and he's certainly a more accurate passer. So I think when you see what they were able to do with him, it gives you some comfort there, but it's his guy. And I love you. I love the hire. And was I surprised that Cody Kessler went there? I was, but when he comes out and says, trust me on this one, I'm going to trust him. I've seen him be successful with every quarterback he's ever worked with.
Yeah. And I've said it on multiple occasions over the course of the weekend, when people ask me about the draft class. And of course, a lot of people are going to look at this draft and call it the Kessler draft. And, If you love the hire of Hugh Jackson, and you trust him as your head football coach in the direction this place is headed, you have to trust in the Kessler pick. And I think, and this is from a local perspective, on the board were Connor Cook and Cardale Jones. So some of the disgruntled fans and the knock on Cody Kessler are simply because two guys that they have seen play that are from your local market, that played in the Big Ten, because we're in Big Ten country, we're both on the board, and we took someone else. So I think a distaste for Cody Kessler simply comes from that first and foremost, because you can't tell me, you know, a majority of Browns fans were staying up till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night watching the Pac-12 and Cody Kessler only throw the 12 interceptions that he did over the course of the last two seasons.
Sure. This is a guy, by the way, who, as we know, 88 touchdowns, 19 interceptions
19,
in his career. Very productive from that respect. Very good, obviously, as we talked about in terms of his accuracy. And that's something that Hugh Jackson was drawn to. But overall, this draft, for people who say this draft is going to be based on the success of Cody Kessler, I disagree completely. I think you're looking at the amount of people that they brought in, a lot of people who, you know, they're bringing in what they hope is a culture change and a talent change. At the end of the day, it is about the 14 young men who they have brought in what is basically almost like a massive recruiting class. I don't know, for people who are in college who went into a fraternity, when you got a pledge class that had, call it 14, 15 guys in there, and they were all of a certain ilk, you know, you have no character guys in this group. You have guys who are hard workers, guys who have been productive. It can change the tenor of something. And so that is something that they're looking for this team to do, is change the tenor of this team. When you've been a losing franchise, change is good. And veterans who are here that might not feel as comfortable after this draft, that's good too, because if you can't be comfortable when you're 3-13.
Nope.
And so what the Browns have done is address that. So we're going to find out. Now they have to play. But in terms of having a plan, having goals, executing on those goals, they acquired more draft picks for the future. And most importantly, they acquired 14 guys who they think can come in and compete for spots and help this Cleveland Browns team begin this turnaround under Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown. So that on that level, they've succeeded. Beyond that, now we have to see it, to quote Jason Gibbs. Now it's time for those guys to come in here and get to work. And I know that talking to some of the coaches here, there were some interesting meetings today with the players. I'd imagine in the wide receiver room under Al Saunders, it was probably an interesting day with those veterans.
Had to be.
It had to be. You know, there's an elephant in the room. Hey, this organization, the decision makers here, drafted four guys to come in here and take your jobs because they didn't think you were getting it done.
And what are you going to do about it is what I would say.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
If I were Coach Saunders.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the professionals that treat this as their job will rise up. They will practice at an entirely new tempo. And I think the individuals that make up the Cleveland Browns as we sit right now, we know the mentality of Hugh Jackson and what he was going to bring in the physicality and running the football and how different training camp's going to be. But the mindset has changed now. You know, I think everyone, there's very few people that are not on watch. And we could probably go position by position, you know, with position groups that are now on watch, because you'll find just organically doing it in the numbers game that is the 53-man roster, the odd man out that you could potentially say, based on what these draft picks do, almost at every position group.
Absolutely. And there, don't forget the undrafted free agents that are coming in as well. Mike Matthews, the center from the Matthews bloodline, coming here to the Cleveland Browns as an undrafted free agent. At least that's a rumor. That hasn't been confirmed yet. But there are a lot of hungry people coming in here to try to turn this thing around. We want to know what you guys thought of what you saw there. Who's the one guy you're most excited to see? There are a few of them I'm very excited to see get out there and do some work for this Cleveland Browns team. But let us know your thoughts. It's kind of a day for reaction. We've gone through the coverage. And if you have specific questions about players, you want to get into them, dive a little deeper, we'll do that. We'll get into them, because that's all we've been doing is studying them. If you missed the Dog Pound report, I'd recommend checking that out on ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, the full episode. We give you some good nuggets on each of the players drafted by the Cleveland Browns, kind of get into all of them and can give you kind of that background on it. But we'll do that on the radio as well today. Still to come, Andrew Berry, Vice President of Player Personnel, is going to be with us at 2 o'clock. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, at 2:30. Analytics people, by the way, have loved it. And we're going to hear what an old-school football guy who has been as hard on the Browns as anybody since Sashi Brown and company took over, Pat Kerwin. We'll hear what he had to say about this draft as well. That's all coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Give us a call, 216-578-0850.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board. Now, some people not as high on the Browns draft. Mel Kiper giving it a C. CBS giving it in a C range. But guys who are analytically minded give it a big time A. Pro Football Focus gives the Browns an A. And Paul Bazier, who runs PredictionMachine.com, I'm sure you guys have heard him many, many times. He's often on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's all around. He thinks that the Browns moved up. They had the best draft in the class. In fact, changed them from their projected rankings for the season from 32nd to 30th. Not that that's anything to get excited about, but it is movement. And believes with the draft, the Browns added 1.55 wins to their total this season. That was the best number of any team in the National Football League, saying Cleveland's volume of picks and focus on a playmaking receivers and pass rushers and plenty of opportunity gives the Browns the best chance to benefit in the short and long term from this class. So they very much liked what the Browns did in this draft there. What do you guys think of it? 216-578-0850. By the way, let me ask you, Matt Wilhelm, since we're talking about it, who people are most excited to see. Who are the – I'll give you three. There's 15 people coming here.
Okay.
Who are the three that you are most excited to see?
Ironically – our first and second round picks, I'm most excited to see. Corey Coleman and what he will do in this offense, regardless of who's throwing him the football.
Are we going to have the same three?
Okay. I don't know.
Are we?
Okay. Emmanuel Ogba.
Okay. We're two for two.
Okay. I think he's an absolute freak of a player. And then I would have to say Seth the Valve.
Come on, man. I love it.
Seriously?
Of course. That's okay. My guy.
Seth the Valve, the tight end H-back slash wide receiver from Princeton. To your recommendation, I did YouTube his pro day workout at Princeton, and, like, guys put together, man.
Okay, so let me ask you, because I'm me, okay? I'm a normal man.
Yes.
I mean, well, nonetheless, you're a professional athlete football player. When you saw that video, what did you think? I mean, because you see the physique, you see the explosiveness and the athleticism, and then the other thing that I noticed I took away from watching it a second time, you see how pumped his teammates are for him?
Yeah.
He's a well-liked player there.
He is. When I, you know, again, I'm not looking at guy. I mean, you look at him, you look at his pro day, how explosive he is, and how physically he looks ready to play in the National Football League, and he completely falls in line with everyone drafted above him.
Yep.
You know, that's Ricardo Lewis. That's Sean Coleman, who could potentially play right tackle for us out of the gates. Carl Nassib, 6'7", 275. He might put on 5 pounds to go inside. Ogba can definitely looks the part and shows his physicality on the football field. And Corey Coleman, his spark score, his explosiveness, his ability to win the football as a smaller wide receiver time after time against, you know, against double coverage, dunking over taller DBs. So he absolutely fits. And I think that ball of clay that you and I continually talk about, get him in here, get him to work, Gary, you know, get in the room with Gary Barnage, sit back, shut up, and take it all in, you know, and let the physical side of what you do, which is all we know right now, turn you into a football player.
Yeah, and that's what it is. The staff, this is the right staff to have this many young guys.
And that's
you couldn't do it.
That's why
that
you
staff.
Take these guys that are so raw from schools that you've never heard of. You know, and again, the Ricardo Lewis pick to me, I don't care what position he's going to play. I really don't. I'd love to have him grow into a wide receiver. He's here to play wide receiver.
Yes.
Great, that's music to my ears. He's another. He's probably fourth or fifth on my list, but he might be third on my list or second on my list. A year from now at this time, a year into developing and learning the NFL game because of the fast 40, explosive, the size. He brings a lot to the table. Now he just needs to be refined.
That's exactly right. And you talked about the spark, and we can get into that. And why not? Why don't we just get into it? Why don't we just get into it right now? So what is this? Everybody's saying, what are you guys talking about? What is this spark? So there's a website called 3SigmaAthlete.com, the number 3, S-I-G-M-A, athlete.com. And so what is it? Spark analytics in the NFL draft. What does it mean? What is Spark about? So it's a way that you measure athletes. It's something that comes up. It was the formula developed by Nike, which measures player athleticism by outputting a single composite score. So that's what it is. So what is Spark? That's what it is, and it's got a good acronym, and I wish I could get to it. I wish I could find it really quickly, but it stands for speed, explosiveness, which is not an A, but I'll find the answers for that. But nonetheless, that's what it is. So it's a measure of somebody's overall athleticism. So they go ahead and they take a look at it, and they say to yourself, what is Spark? What does it mean? It means what kind of an athlete are you? So it takes height, weight, arm length, 40-yard, 10-yard, short shuttle, three-cone, bench, vertical, broad jump, etc. That's what it's looking at. So that you can take for your size, how good of an athlete are you truly? So, and they can do it for each position. That's what they can look at. So they can calculate this very, very quickly. We had some people talking about it. So from this Browns draft, you have at wide receiver Corey Coleman, who was the number 2 Spark wide receiver in this draft. Ricardo Lewis was the number 4 Spark receiver in this draft. Seth Duvall, the number 1 Spark tight end in this draft. Emmanuel Ogba, the number 2 pass or the number 1 edge rusher in this draft. Number 2, I'm sorry, behind Charles Tapper. So they were getting not only high character guys, not only guys who were incredibly productive in college, but they were looking for guys who also were kind of off the charts as athletes. And so they got some of those guys. Now, a guy like Carl Nassib isn't a Spark guy. That's a production guy, a high motor guy. But that's what they were looking for, was to find a combination of these high character guys, these high energy guys, and also guys, as we talked about, who are just physical freak athletes that can get after the quarterback and can make big, impactful plays. Because as we know, this is a game about making big and impactful plays, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt. I love it. I want to see these guys in uniform.
Me too.
You know, I want to get them on the field because I believe that you talk about we've got the overcomers, we've got the hard workers, we got the shouldn't have beens in the Carl Nassib, you know, with the walk-ons and Joe Schobert as well. Guys that overcame now only know how to play the game of football at one speed.
Yes.
They're going to bring that speed to the practice field, and they're going to be veteran guys in the NFL. Not to their fault, but because of the past here in Cleveland.
Sure.
Okay? With what they got accustomed to and the tempo of drills, the tempo of practice, the physicality of drills, the physicality of practice. And these guys only know one speed. Okay? And they're not sure. They're brand
all out.
New. Their dreams have just come to fruition. They're going to go. They don't know how to turn it down, shut it down. I always talk about this, and it's part of becoming a professional is how can, because coaches want you, especially now under these new rules, how could I go as fast as I do with pads without pads? Because that's how you practice and get prep ready when the season actually starts efficiently and effectively. Because you can't have collisions with no pads on.
No.
No, that's what these guys will have to learn.
Right.
And that's part of becoming a pro football player as well.
It is. And you know, I got the sense from listening to these guys speaking. You have a couple self-made men here, but it seemed to me they were all hungry. They were all hungry to work. Sometimes you get a sense after the draft that some guys think they've made it or that they're ready to, that they don't know, think they have to work. And I think you could look at, you know, the 2014 draft with Johnny and Justin, that I don't think they were ready for what the grind it took to be great.
You and I took every one of their phone calls, or I took, you know, on Thursday night, you took the remainder on Saturday. Every one of these phone calls, probably 30 minutes after they were drafted. And that's the one word, ready to work, came out in every single interview we did. And it wasn't like we teed them up, you know, to say that. It just came out in who they are.
Yeah, which I like. By the way, thank you to everybody who's tweeted me what the SPARC acronym stands for. It stands for speed, power, agility, reaction, and quickness. So when you're good at all those things, you're a pretty darn good athlete. By the way, just got one retweeted by our friend, the Cardiac Kid. Rashard Higgins said he will write down a list of the 18 wide receivers picked before him, put it in his locker, and use it as motivation. Hollywood Higgins. Pat Kerwin, when we hear from him, throws out an amazing stat that doesn't even include Ricardo Lewis's numbers. It was as if he glossed over Ricardo Lewis's draft to this, about these wide receivers and their absolutely monstrous production in college, the three guys that are coming to this team, and it's pretty stark. And we're going to hear from Pat Kerwin shortly. 216-578-0850. Let's get some of your reaction now, though. Let's go to Steve in Marietta. Steve, Dan in Hershey Pa. Dan.
Hi, guys. I'd have to, I mean, I'm not going to get into pluses or minuses. I would have to give this a grade of an A.
And why is that, Dan?
Well, I called you guys several times before the draft, and they basically did, I mean, you got to be careful what you ask for. I got what I asked for. I got more than I asked for. We got the pick of the litter at the wide receiver position. I didn't think Emmanuel Ogbah would be available at the top of round two. That's why I said we should pick Noah Spence. I love the fact we went after wide receivers. And when you look at each one of these guys, I think Tony Grossi used an adjective I liked. He said they're pugnacious.
Yeah, there's a lot of fight and a lot of spirit in these guys. I mean, you got a safety who played an entire season with a broken collarbone, which is just absolutely ridiculous when you think about it. But I agree. I think that there's a lot of tenacity. There's a lot of fight in these guys. There's a serious work ethic and a desire to get better. And what we don't know, I mean, we'll see it when we get out there. But when you have guys like a Scooby Wright that's writing a letter to every team in the NFL because he wants an opportunity, that's a guy that's hungry. Schobert, Nassib were told they couldn't do it, walked on, and proved everybody wrong. Those guys are hungry. You could tell Ogbah came from Nigeria, his family for a better life. He is hungry. Corey Coleman wants to rip people's hearts out. This is a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder. I think you get a lot of that with this group. Sean Coleman's overcome cancer and has an opportunity to play football in the National Football League. So I think that it's a good group of guys. And when you see, as I've had an opportunity now to be at those introductory press conferences, to see all five of those guys up there with their families and hear the way that they talked about their bond and what they're going to do, it was a very impressive scene to me on Saturday when they finally all got to come in here and get it done. Let's go to Reg in Youngstown now. Reg, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Oh, good. Hey, the draft was excellent, man. That's an A+. I get an A+. If I could see Sashi and Coach U and all of them, I would love to shake their hand, man. They did fantastic. It was fantastic. I just can't believe how good they did.
Reg.
Hey, guys, for real.
That's good. Listen, I'm thrilled, too. All I wanted were three wide receivers in this draft, and instead,
I got four of them. Yeah.
I wanted to trade back, get some future first, get a future second, and then take that receiver in the middle of the first round, and that's exactly what we got.
And, Matt, you know, and I'm crazy about the whole draft, but what I really was glad, you know, what I've been saying all the time, that I would like to see the Browns pick up some people, you know, on the offensive line. I love that, man. They got them two big young tackles. I can see it. I see a vision, man.
That's right.
I see a vision of the Browns really being some, man. They got a good staff. Coach got a good staff out there, man. They did fantastic. I just wanted to get that in there, guys, and I love what you all are saying because that's the truth. Anybody don't go along with what the Browns are doing has to be blind. That's all I can tell you because that was great. That probably was the best draft the Browns seen probably in the last 20 years, if not longer than that. So, guys, keep it strong for us. And, Matt, I'm going to see you at that. Hopefully I'm going to see you at that program that's going to be out in Boardman.
Yes.
Sports.
Yeah.
I'd get a chance to meet you.
Saturday. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool, Reg. I look forward to it.
Okay, guys, so I'll see you later. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Reg. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls, 216-578-0850. We'll also let you hear what Pat Kerwin, former NFL GM, had to say about what the Browns did in the 2016 NFL Draft.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Draft is over. Getting your reactions still to come. Andrew Berry will be with us. We're going to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. But Gibbs, before we do that, let's hear from Pat Kerwin, CBS Sports, former NFL GM, who has been, I mean, as critical as anybody, and not meanly, just he's been critical. He's an old school football guy. But let's hear what he had to say about the Browns draft.
It's time to look at the Cleveland Brown experiment, and that it was. They land up with 14 picks during the three-day draft, and they also fortified the 2017 draft. So the money ball issue is in play here, and they really did a decent job, and I got to commend them for what they did. Now, let's break it down. First off, let's go to the defense up front. They put three players in the mix for right now. Emmanuel Ogba and Nassib, the kid out of Penn State. Those guys combined for 25 sacks just last year. Ogba, of course, had 24 over 2 years. So they've installed some pass rush pressure. I think Nassib can compete for the right defensive end job, and I think Ogba is going to land up being an outside linebacker. I've talked to him, and he's able to do it. He's athletic enough to do it. And then Schobert moves into the inside, and I think he can win the left inside linebacker job. Had him at the Senior Bowl. Was very impressed with him. Was very impressed with Nassib. So the front three on defense that they put into this draft mix all can compete to start. Let's go to the receiver group because this one's really interesting. They get Coleman in the first round, Jordan Payton later, and Rashard Higgins. Let's just deal with these three players. Between the three of them, they have caught 613 balls and 78 touchdowns. Let me repeat that. 613 receptions, 78 touchdowns. They don't need Josh Gordon. Are any of them as good as Gordon? Maybe not, but no more risk. If you want to deal with Gordon and when he comes back, fine, but they can get by without him now, and all three of these players should make this football team. Over in the offensive line, they take Coleman. He's a little bit raw, but I think when I look at this depth chart, he can win the right tackle job. And then Spencer Drago is a guard. He's a rotational player. I see him making the team, maybe inactive a few weeks early in the year, but eventually he's a backup guard both sides of the ball. So they fortify those three areas. They bring on enough players that they're going to get at least five of their practice squad players from this draft. But here's the issue, and this is the linchpin to the success of this. Cody Kessler, the quarterback they take. Now, Jacoby Brissett, who I talked to enough quarterback coaches, they thought this was the diamond in the rough, but he went two picks before Kessler, and they couldn't wait. We'll never know if they like Brissett more. They say they like Kessler, but they left Connor Cook, Dak Prescott, Kevin Hogan, and Brandon Allen on the board to do this. I like Kessler. Had him at the Senior Bowl. He is accurate. He gets the ball out of his hand. You need to make this guy a developmental player that can eventually become the starter. If he does that, then this is a great draft. If he doesn't, then this is a mediocre draft. This is a fortify your roster draft. But I will say this finally. I admire what the Browns did, because if you're going to change the culture of a team that just doesn't know how to win, putting 14 brand new guys in the locker room and a couple of undrafted guys, getting it close to 20 brand new players, they'll have the ability to listen to Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson, go do your job now and develop Kessler. In the meantime, I'm giving you guys an A for an outstanding experimental 3-day draft in a new way of doing business.
I mean, Gibbs.
Do you need to say more?
Gibbs, help people get some context. I don't know if you've been familiar with what Pat's been saying on his Real Football Network.
No, I am not.
Which is awesome. And it's a great place for people to learn. Sometimes when I was watching those videos where he has him and Coach Cowher breaking down the schemes,
correct.
That's from the Real Football Network. It is almost mind-boggling to hear him say that. He has been the most critical voice about the Browns and this experiment. And you could even hear kind of the way that he talked about some of those terms were pejorative. But for him to say that is, that's the first old-school football guy who's come and said, wow, like, okay, and I see it now. Gibbs.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's funny looking at all the grades that people are putting on. You know, all the analytics guys have it being a great draft for the Browns. All the non-analytics, or I don't want to say non-analytics, but the football-based traditionalists have it as a C or B.
And except for the amazing thing is except.
And then Kerwin comes out and says, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'm buying. Now, he did lay out a couple things that have to happen for it to stay an A. Otherwise,
which
he called it a mediocre draft.
Correct.
I think that's a fair statement to make. And, you know, like I said earlier, if you had to ask me for a grade, I'd give you a B minus. But, I mean, you went out and got guys that you needed to fill voids on your football team.
What would
now they
it,
have to play.
Why is it a B minus?
I've got to see a couple of these guys that they reached on and know that they're going to be contributors on this football team.
Who would those people be, in your opinion?
Ricardo Lewis. I didn't read a whole lot positive on him.
If they had taken Lewis where they took Higgins and Higgins where they took Lewis, would it change?
I think so.
But yet they have both of them.
So it's still the same.
You know, I mean, they got
you, Matt, if one of them goes for 10 touchdowns 2 years from now, will you care where they get drafted?
No, no, I think it's fair. I give them a B+. I give them a B.
I mean, that's
a B+, A- was the range I was in. Because I don't know what you're going to see, but I can tell you what's amazing is we forget, I think, because of the 14 players, you forget that they also have a 1 and 2 twos still to come from this draft alone.
But I don't want to look ahead. I'm looking at here and now.
But that's a part of the overall draft this year.
That's fine, but I've got 14 guys that I'm looking at right now that determine this draft.
Yep.
This is the inaugural building block for this franchise in their new regime and new direction. These guys are the building block. Like, this whole thing's going to sink or swim basically with these guys, you could almost say.
Yeah, I think it's huge.
I mean, with the RG3 signing and the couple of the free agents they brought in, there weren't many, which we knew was going to be the case. We knew it was going to be built through the draft. Well, now you've got 14 guys. Now, I'm not saying all 14 guys have to be starters on day one in Philadelphia in September, but I got to see some production. Yeah, exactly. But I've got to see I want to see a number of these guys be significant contributors on this football team this year.
Absolutely. Matt, take us into the mind of a veteran. You know, I know you're good friends with Tank Carter. Tank,
yes.
Carter's there. They draft a Scooby Wright and they draft a Schobert. What are, and now 14 of these guys plus the undrafteds are going to come in all of a sudden into a locker room that had been these guys, and they're going to come in with something to prove, chip on their shoulder. What's that dynamic actually like in reality?
It's tough. It's tough. And you hope that they open the door for these guys to walk in and be a Cleveland Brown right along next to you. But I know for me, there was, I would say, 4, if not 5 of my 8 years in the NFL. And I guess it was before, because my 8, again, I was done and wasn't really paying attention to the draft. So I'd say 4 of my 8 years in the NFL, I was in tune to my team's draft, and the other 4 that I didn't care. I was still the young, and one of those years are, again, I was in a contract year. They're giving me a boatload of money. You know, in some cases, they're not going to eat that and take it on the chin. So you're going to make a roster. You know, as a fourth round pick, I had done enough as a rookie to know and talk to a lot of the right people that I was. That it's, again, I was a developmental guy. They liked what they got out of me, and they want to see where this goes. So, but at the end of your career, I know in San Francisco, when I resigned in San Francisco, a coach told me, "Oh, we're not good. We got linebackers, not a position of need by any means. You know, so we're good." And we draft Navarro Bowman, and I'm just like, and I call him, and it's like, not that it was. I was immediately like, "Oh, I'm gone," because I would have made it had I not got injured. You know. Work betting on myself, but ultimately it's like, it doesn't make you live a peaceful life, you know, to know that the guy that's going to take your job just got hired by your business organization team. You don't want to make nice.
Yeah.
You know, and yet you, in some cases, could be in the huddle with that guy. The coach could literally have the two of you in the room and go, "Hey, Tank, mentor this young fella," and you want to go, "No,
I don't want to.
He's going to take my job." Correct. So there's a lot of different dynamics. But you have to bet as an individual, you have to bet on yourself to make the team and make the plays necessary to prove your value.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, competition. And there is going to be a lot of competition going forward for the Browns. And I can't wait to see these practices, get these guys rocking and rolling. All right. When we come back, we'll take your phone call still to come. Andrew Berry, the vice president of player personnel, will be with us to talk a little bit about these guys. Also, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will be with us in hour number 2 here on CBD.
Sunday Night Baseball, the playoffs, the World Series, and Tribe coverage featuring Greg Brenda and Indians great Rick Manning. We are ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hi, got any tires?
There's no such thing as any tires here. Only the exact right tires for your vehicle, because this is Ford Service. And
welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Draft is over. Getting your reactions still to come. Andrew Berry will be with us. We're going to take your phone calls, 216-578-0050. But Gibbs, before we do that, let's hear from Pat Kerwin, CBS Sports, former NFL GM, who has been, I mean, as critical as anybody, and not meanly, just... he's been critical. He's an old school football guy. But let's hear what he had to say about the Browns draft.
Different. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm with you along with Jason Gibbs. Let's go to the phone lines once again. Andy in Mansfield. Andy, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before I get into the draft, I just wanted to see if I could just say a word to Matt Wilhelm.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say thank you for bringing happiness back to my childhood. My dad was a tortured Buckeye fan until you laid a hit on Ken Dorsey that later basically knocked him basically woozy, where he couldn't lead his team like he used to. And my dad basically credits you for winning us the 2002 national championship. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My pleasure. It was a lovely hit. It was.
Oh, yes, it was. And I was screaming. I didn't really know what was going on, but I was screaming because my dad was. But anyways, I just wanted to get into the draft a little bit. I give the draft right now a solid B+. And the reason why, I think, Nate Zagura, you'll agree with me on this one. In the third round, I thought the Browns had played their hand beautifully up to that point. They were in line to draft Carew, and I thought in the first three rounds they would have gotten two of the top, I think, three or four or five wide receivers in the draft, because I personally think Carew is going to be a stud in the NFL.
I do, too.
And I was so excited until I found out that they traded that second pick away. I definitely can tell that they did have a theme. They didn't want anybody that had off-the-field problems.
Correct.
And I don't have any problems with that, because there's nothing more infuriating than the Josh Gordon situation. But, oh, I was dying when I saw that. And then in the fourth round, when we had the first two picks in the fourth round, I don't have a problem with them drafting the kid from Wisconsin. However, I thought they were in position to draft Joshua Perry.
We talked about that, actually, at the time. Matt and I both talked about it. Yeah.
He is a big, big linebacker, and he can move, and he's very intelligent. Urban Meyer has nothing but incredible things to say about this kid. And they also, for a while before they had talked about possibly having him pop down on the defensive end and rush the quarterback in the Clemson game 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And so he has the ability to rush from the outside, obviously. He's got the talent to do it. I thought, seeing it, I'm not upset with the kid from Wisconsin, because I know he's produced, but boy, I thought they were in line to get Joshua Perry. And those two reasons right there are the only reasons I dropped them down to a B+, but I do reserve the right to give them an A later on if they, you know, because I do believe that they're a lot smarter than I am. But those two things, oh, I was aching. I thought other than that, they had a beautiful draft, and I just want to listen to your thoughts on that. Thanks, guys.
No, appreciate the call very much, Andy. And, yeah, I obviously wanted Leonte Carew.
And I text you right when Rod Carew went off the board.
For the Miami Dolphins. That was it. I was out. No more Rod. But, you know, when you look at really what they did overall, I don't know that he necessarily would have fit with what they were trying to do. I know that talking to him, they did like him very much as a player, but they decided, and I think they knew once they traded out of that spot that they were not going to get him, because he went, you know, soon thereafter to the Miami Dolphins.
Joshua Perry,
that one surprised me. I looked him up. Of the off-line of scrimmage linebackers, he was the seventh-rated spark guy, productive at Ohio State.
John Pagano talked to him about Joshua Perry, and he says, "It's about time I got a real Ohio State linebacker," and I told him to kiss my... Grits.
You know what?
Yes.
Yes.
No, but he's excited. And I thought it was just really cool to have Bosa, you know, the number one overall pick, taken third overall, sorry, by the San Diego Chargers, announce the card at their, like, fan get-together.
Absolutely. It was very cool to get Buckeye. 216-578-0850. Let's go now. North of the border. There it is.
Hey, guys.
Cam from Canada. What's up, Cam?
I'm pretty positive about things. I was going to just give my basic grade, then I wanted to make a couple quick points if I could. So I'm going to give it an A for sure, no question.
All right.
As far as the old guard goes, never underestimate that these guys are survivors. So, I mean, it was only 25 years ago they were telling you not to drink water because you get waterlogged. So these guys, they'll come around on the analytics. The second point is, a very poignant point that your last guest had, this gives guys the ability to listen to Hugh Jackson. I would have to be convinced that there wasn't gold bricking and undermining going on in the last regime from veterans The quicker we get those guys out of there, the better. I don't mean indiscriminately, but I know there's still guys that have to go. And I want to be the example of how it is to suck it up, because nobody wanted a player worse than I wanted Leonte Carew. I wanted him worse than anything. And it was a trade down, and getting Kessler was a direct result of my favorite player not being drafted, and I sucked it up. Who am I to think that I know more than what Hugh Jackson wants? That's my message to everybody. Nobody has a clue why or what this guy did or his support staff. I don't care whether you support him or not, but people sound ridiculous when they think they know better than what Hugh Jackson does.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when Hugh Jackson went out there and said to me, hey, this is my guy, that said just about everything I needed to hear about Cody Kessler. So that is it, in Hugh we trust, as some people have said in the Hugh world order, but that's his guy, and that's what they wanted, and that's fine. And listen, I was with you on Rod Carew. I wanted him as well. Let's go to Dave in the fine city of Las Vegas. Dave, welcome.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, brother?
Good, man.
Great. I just want to say I'm ecstatic right now. Give the draft definitely an A. Reason being is because not only the fine players that we picked, but the fact that it's geared towards the future. That next year and next year's draft, we can keep the party rolling. Just looking at next year, we have amazing amounts of playmakers coming out, and I'm just really excited about that. But if you look at this year's class, I think Ricardo Lewis, to me, he looks like a Martavius Bryant type athlete. I think that if they can develop him, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'll take Martavis Bryant without the issues.
Definitely without the issues. If you want to go the Sean Coleman, to me, he's a bulldozer. A little unrefined, but at the same time, he's a guy that you pair with Austin Pastore on that line, that power run game, all of a sudden comes to life. And then you look at somebody like Carl Nassib, you know, I love the story, and I love all the walk-on stories that we have, just because being a former NCO in the Army, I know that what we were taught was, you know, you adapt and overcome. And we've got a lot of people who are in this draft that have adapted and overcome a lot of adversity in life. I think that's a huge lesson. And I think that all the top decision makers in the Browns organization, what they kind of did is, I mean, if I'm looking at a draft room, they're taking the intersection of all these characteristics they want. So they're taking high character guys, guys who have adapted and overcome, guys with high spark scores who are extremely athletic and also actually productive. And then boom, there's the perfect Browns player. So I think it's they took a lot, pulled from a lot of different areas, took from a lot of resources, and I thought that they did an excellent job. So keeping an eye towards the future, towards the present, you know, I think it's amazing. And I'm also pretty excited, too, because now you got Paul Kruger and Shimon Williams and all those vets. They got to be on roller skates, man. Cause
absolutely.
You know
that, these guys are coming in here to compete and change the culture. Dave, thanks so much for the call. Guys, when we come back live in studio for the first time in the Dog Bowl, we'll have Browns Vice President of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry, talking about the 14 new members of your Cleveland Browns. That's up next, only here on ESPN Cleveland.